Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 76, verses 1 to 33, the battle between Shalva and the Vrishnis. Verse 1. Sri Shukavacha Atanyadapi Krishnasya Shinu Karmat Bhuttam Nipa Pira nara shrirasya yata sau papatir pata. Shukadeva Goswami said, "Now please hear, O King, another wondrous deed performed by Lord Krishna, who appeared in his human-like body to enjoy transcendental pastimes. Hear how he killed the master of Sopa. Mukkam makarati vachalam tangam langayate girim yakipam tamaham mande shigurum dinatayinam om agyana timirandasya gyanam shana shalakaya chakshirani chamyena tasamay shigurave namaha. So let us remember Burijan Prabhu's last two classes. First was chapter 73, and it was about how the kings who were imprisoned, how they got released by Lord Krishna. Actually, yes, it was their release. So who remembers something from that class, chapter 73, the kings released from prison after long austerity? So they saw Jarasandha as actually facilitating their devotional service. But in the class that I had, I was reading the message which they sent, and they said that Jarasandha was their karma personified.
But then by the time Krishna came...
It must have taken a long time to get from Dwarka to New Delhi. I mean, to Hastinapur. And used to stop it. Yeah, it must have taken a month at least to get... 3 months.
3 months for him to actually get there and release
them. Wow.
And in that 3 month period, they changed their whole vision.
Wow. So by that time, they became pure devotees because they got the message, Krishna is coming to save you. So just keep tight, hold tight, and he'll be here any month now. It's about 3 months. Yes? How to be a king or how to be a devotee. Okay, Prashanta? So they got transformed by being in prison. And So they followed his instructions. They followed Krishna's instructions and they preached, yes. Oh, I see, yeah, right. Prabhupada said three times. It takes three times and then you can learn the verse. I mean, used to be. Wow, so yeah, that kind of prayer kind of runs through Bhagavatam. It's kind of, a lot of people say that kind of prayer. Narada Muni said that kind of prayer. Kunti, Krishnaya, Vasudevaya, Divakinananaya cha. Well, she's a little bit more rasika. Okay, yeah. Okay, anything else you remember? You remember that prayer. That's good. That verse. Anything else? Is Adi Purusha around, or? Okay. I don't hear any sound upstairs. Well, I hope he comes. All right, anything else from the kings released? Abai?
When they went back,
they became preachers, transformed from kings into preachers. Yes.
Well, they stayed kings.
So they remained kings. So Krishna took everything away. Then he gave everything back, plus Krishna consciousness, which is what we are trying to... We don't have to take everything away, but at least we have to have our Krishna consciousness. So as kings, anything else from that? Yes. Sahadev. Yeah, that was my class, actually, but that's all right. Yeah. Yeah, Krishna and Arjuna Bhima did not claim the kingdom, even though they had killed the king. Usually the process is you kill the king and you get the kingdom. That's the process among Kshatriyas. But they did not want the kingdom. They just wanted to make sure Yudhisthira could do his Rajasuya sacrifice. That's when Jarasandha was an obstacle for the sacrifice. He didn't surrender. Everyone had to surrender to Yudhisthira so he could perform that. So they didn't want, they were just in service. Krishna, Bhima, and Arjuna were in service to Yudhisthira. That was their service, to kill Jarasandha. Okay, anything else from that chapter 73? And so I will just read some few things that I had that if, yes?
No, 73.
73, yeah. We'll get to 74 soon and 75. Rajasiya sacrifice. But before that, a few words from Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion, a quality of Krishna in releasing the kings. Now, this is pretty easy. Maybe you can guess this quality. Haribo, welcome. We're in chapter 73 right now, releasing the kings. Okay, now this is a quality of Krishna. We're always bringing up his qualities. There's a lot of qualities in Dwarka Leela. Now, this is a particular quality that would be very easy to guess. Krishna in relationship with the kings who are imprisoned. Close, yeah. It's kind of a synonym. Yeah, compassionate. Very good. Compassionate. This is quality number 32, chapter 22. Person who is unable to bear another's distress is called compassionate. Krishna's compassion for distressed persons was exhibited when he released all of the kings imprisoned by Magadendra. And then another example in that Nectar Devotion section is Bhishma. Bhishma prayed to Krishna and described him as the sun which eradicated darkness. The kings imprisoned by Magadendra were put into dark cells, and when Krishna appeared there, the darkness immediately disappeared, just as if the sun had risen. That's Krishna Surya Sam Mayahoy Andhakar. Krishna is like the sun. In other words, although Magadendra was able to imprison so many kings, upon the appearance of Krishna, they were all released. Krishna released the kings out of his sincere compassion for them. And sometimes people say that God, Krishna, you know, God does not have compassion. He cannot feel compassion. But when he sees, because the devotees are in his heart and the devotees are compassionate, then he feels that compassion. Some acharyas say that somewhere. But actually, according to this, no, it's a quality of Krishna. He is compassionate. So if someone says to you, Krishna is not compassionate, well, then you can cite Nectar of Devotion, compassionate. Another thing from Vishnu Chakravati, I'm sure you heard this, but it's something that struck me. Because he does read, oh yeah. Oh yeah, I thought this was interesting from Sarata Darshini about the kings. Krishna is speaking to the kings, verse 19 from 73rd chapter, that you have decided to take up bhakti, which is a necessity, is truly fortunate, for I see the madness and bondage of kings. From wealth, Shri, comes concept of power, Aishwarya. So Shri, first comes money, then Aishwarya, power. From Aishwarya comes pride, Ada. And from pride comes bondage, Unaham. So that's from verse 19. I thought that was quite interesting to show what comes after wealth. Power, pride, and bondage. If you have wealth which is not used in Krishna's service. So these kings, verse 19 of chapter 73 is a comment by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Pardon me? First was wealth. Wealth. Shri.
Wealth.
First comes Shri. From Shri comes Aishwarya, or power. From Aishwarya comes pride, Ada. And from pride comes bondage, Unaham. So somebody has wealth and he doesn't use it in Krishna's service, this is what happens. This is the process of becoming bound by your wealth. Okay, now we're going to chapter 74, which is the Rajasiya sacrifice of Yudhisthira. And in that chapter, Shishupala also got killed, I think. No, that's chapter 75. Let's see. Chapter 75... No, it was chapter 74, right? Yeah, Shishupala. Yeah. Okay, Rajasuya sacrificed and Shishupala was killed. So what do you remember from that chapter? Yes.
In that chapter also, Duryodhana and Sahadeva, they did so many prayers very nicely.
Duryodhana, not Duryodhana.
Sahadeva. So in Yudhishthira Maharaja's place there, he was telling that although you are obeying our orders, but Navai Adhita Bhaktana, Mamaham Iti Madhava.
He does have food.
Nanadi Pashunam Iva Vaikruti. So I and mine and you and yours, whatever the, even this not appearing in devotees also, what to speak about you. Because this is a perverted mentality of animals.
Wow.
He did so many prayers, he was dead.
Okay, Sahadeva was praying. Yudhishthira was praying. Okay. Yeah. Abhay? Temperature is the same. Okay, so that's how Krishna is impartial. Lakshmimani.
To glorify Krishna. And to show that Krishna have all
offerings. Right. To glorify Krishna, His Supreme Personality of Godhead, to show the devotees of Krishna can have all opulences.
Yes.
If you worship Krishna, you'll get everything.
So Krishna should get
the first worship.
And he gave many nice reasons
why
Krishna
deserved that first worship. Okay. Ava, you remembered.
Yes.
All right. We'll come back to, I think, it's too cold today. It's very cold. It's Shishupala. Okay. Yeah, Shishupala brought it up at a time when it would ruin the sacrifice. He waited. So let Krishna be worshipped, and then he waited till the time when the sacrifice would have been ruined. Okay? Prashanta, did you have your hand up? I don't remember. Yeah.
Shishupala was very convinced that Krishna was not qualified.
Uh-huh. Shishupala was very convinced.
And I saw him on the birth.
Okay. From birth. Yeah, I think I have that in the Nectar of Devotion.
Yeah, he tolerated with the selection of Krishna.
Right.
Shishupal, he had a number of friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
They were
Shalva, yeah, who we're here about today. Dantavakra. Yeah, so the quality. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, say from dirty. Like
right,
zero,
right.
Blood,
yeah. Without a blood. So which quality of Krishna is this? In relationship to Shishupala, it's not tolerance. There's another one, which is, just think, somebody is a person who can tolerate all kinds of offenses from the opposite party. For something.
Forgiving.
Forgiving. Yeah. The Krishna's forgiving quality is described in Shishupala Vadha in connection with his forbidding the killing of Shishupala. So whenever they would meet Prabhupada Shirupa Goswami, Shishupala would try to insult Krishna and call him ill names as much as possible. When he began in the arena of Rajasuya, he began to call. Krishna did not care and remained silent. Some of the people at the arena were prepared to kill Shishupala, but Krishna restricted them. He was so forgiving. It is said when there is a thundering sound in the clouds, the mighty lion immediately replies with his thundering roar. But the lion doesn't care when all the foolish jackals begin to make their less important sounds. So he was like, Shishupala was a jackal, so, you know, Krishna is a lion, he doesn't care. So here, Lord Ram was also forgiving, but Krishna is greater because Shishupala was always in the habit of insulting Krishna, not only in one lifetime, but continually throughout three lifetimes. That's what it says in Nectar of Devotion. Still, Krishna was so kind, he gave Shishupala the salvation of merging into his existence. From this we can understand the goal of the monist to merge into the effulgence of the Lord is not a very difficult problem. Persons like Shishupala, who are consistently inimical to Krishna, can also get this liberation. Okay? Anything else from that chapter 74? Rajasuya, yes. A lot was going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got another. Oh. Now, this is another one. This is a quality of Krishna, gentle. And this is before the Rajasuya sacrifice, when Yudhisthira was just meeting Krishna. And gentle means any person who neither becomes impudent nor exhibits a puffed up nature is called gentle. Someone who's not proud or impudent. The example of Krishna's gentle behavior was manifested when he was coming to the arena of the Rajasuya sacrifice. Krishna, Maharaj Yudhisthira knew Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was attempting to get down from his chariot to receive Krishna. But before Yudhisthira could get down, Lord Krishna got down from his own chariot and immediately fell at the feet of the king. And so this is gentle nectar of devotion. Again, from Nectar of Devotion, 46. This is about Yudhisthira. And his quality is Dharma Vira. Maharaj Yudhisthira went with Krishna in the arena of Rajasuya's sacrifice. In his imagination, he began to anoint the body of Krishna with a pulp of sandalwood. So while he was going to the arena, he was decorating Krishna. Sandalwood pulp, he decorated Krishna with a garland hanging down to his knees. He gave Krishna garments all embroidered with gold. He gave Krishna ornaments bedecked with valuable jewels. This is all in his imagination. He was already worshipping Krishna. I mean, he couldn't wait until it was Agra Puja. He was already doing it on the way. And he gave Krishna many fully decorated elephants, chariots, and horses. He further wished to give Krishna in charity his kingdom, his family, and his personal self also. After so desiring, when there was nothing actually to give in charity, Maharaj Yudhisthira became very perturbed and anxious. So he was imagining all this charity he was giving to Krishna. Any person who is always ready to satisfy Krishna and who is always dexterous in executing devotional service is called Dharma Vira, or chivalrous in executing religious rituals. Only advanced devotees performing religious ritualistic performances can come to this stage of Dharma Vira. Dharma Viras are produced after going through the authoritative scriptures, following moral principles, being faithful and tolerant, and controlling the senses. Persons who execute religious rituals for the satisfaction of Krishna are steady in devotional service. So he's a Dharma. Oh, there he keeps going. Whereas persons who execute religious rituals without intending to please Krishna are only called pious. So that's interesting. If you just do some religious ritual without the motive, without the purpose of pleasing Krishna, you're pious. But you're not Dharma Vira. Best example of Dharma Vira is Maharaj Yudhisthira. A devotee once told Lord Krishna, "My dear Krishna, killer of all demons, Maharaj Yudhisthira, the eldest son of Maharaj Pandu, has performed all kinds of sacrifices just to please you. He has always invited the heavenly King Indra to take part in the yajnas. Because King Indra was absent so often from Sachi Devi, she had to pass much of her time pining over Indra's absence with her cheeks upon her hands." So we heard about that last time, that Sachi Devi was praying for Buddha to come so that, you know, the sacrifices would be stopped and her husband wouldn't be away for so long. Heard about that last week. So here again, she was really upset because of Yudhisthira was performing so many sacrifices. So only to please Krishna. 46. So I've got something else from Nectar of Devotion and verse 25 of chapter 74. Oh yeah, another quality of Krishna. Maybe he got it, maybe Burjan told you. All worshipable. 47, quality. Person who is respected and worshipped by all kinds of human beings and demigods is called Sarvaradhya, or all worshipable. Whose name is in there? Radharani. Sarvaradhya. Yeah. Krishna is worshipped not only by all living entities, including the great demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, but also by Vishnu expansions like Baladeva and Shesha. Baladeva is a direct expansion of Krishna. He still accepts Krishna as worshipable. When Krishna appeared in the arena of Rajasuya's sacrifice, including all present He was the cynosure of all eyes, center of attraction, and everyone offered him respects, everyone except Shishupala. So when it was time to worship Krishna, according to Vishnu Chakravarti, he was still doing his service of washing people's feet. He was doing that. So then the messengers came to him. Oh, Krishna, I'm sure he read you this. Oh, Krishna, you're eager to wash the feet of all the people assembled in my palace, but the eager kings are inviting you in order to wash your feet. As you are worthy of worship by all, including Brahma and Shiva, please quickly go there. So the messengers brought Krishna, and he was protesting the worship, he says, Vishnu, being irritated in an affectionate way. And he was very attractive when he was like, no, no, don't worship me. So this was going on. Krishna he knows how to behave in all circumstances. And I have one more thing from Nectar of Devotion. I think it's a lot of things. Verse 41, which I'd like to read. There is a lot in those chapters. 41. Okay, yeah, there's a lot of here about Nakula. Nakula, Nectar of Devotion, chapter 28. Trembling of the body was exhibited in... first Sahadev. When Shishupala was vehemently blaspheming the Lord, Sahadev began to tremble out of anger. So ecstatic symptom of anger. Shishupala was also, when he was criticizing Krishna, he irritated the sons of Pandu more than he irritated Krishna. The Pandavas equipped themselves with all kinds of weapons to kill Shishupala. Their feelings were a mixture of ecstatic anger and fraternity. Anger being taken as the whole and fraternity as the part. Nectar of Devotion 49. So then 47, when Krishna was insulted, Nakula said with great anger, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead and the nails of his toes are beautified by the light emanating from the jeweled helmets of the authorities of the Vedas. If he is derided by anyone, I declare he with as a Pandava. I will kick his helmet with my left foot, and I will strike him with my arrows, which are as good as Yamadanda. This is an instance of ecstatic love for Krishna and anger. So he said, I'll kick his head with my foot. That's a very big insult for anyone. This is Sahadev. We're still in chapter 74, Rajasuya sacrifice, remembering. We didn't start today's yet. In such a transcendental angry mood, sometimes sarcastic remarks, unfavorable glances, and insulting words are exhibited. Sometimes there are other symptoms like rubbing of the hands together, clacking of the teeth, clamping of the lips, moving of the eyebrows, scratching of the arms, lowering of the head. Sounds like a bull ready to charge. Rapid breathing, uttering of strong words, nodding of the head, yellowish at the corners of the eyes, and trembling lips. Sometimes the eyes turn red and sometimes they fade. And there is sometimes chastisement and silence. All these symptoms of anger may be divided into two parts, constitutional and unconstitutional, or permanent and temporary symptoms. Sometimes great emotion, bewilderment, pride, frustration, illusion, impotence, jealousy, dexterity, negligence, and signs of hard labor are also manifested as unconstitutional symptoms. So again, when Shishupala was objecting to worship of Krishna, Baladev began to lament, Oh, all auspiciousness to Lord Krishna, I'm so surprised to see the condemned descendants of the Kuru dynasty who so unlawfully occupied the throne of the Kuru kingdom are criticizing Krishna. Oh, is this? Yeah, diplomatic devices. This is intolerable. So this is eagerness caused by dishonor to Krishna. Nectar Devotion 30. Now, what was Bhima experiencing? We'll hear from 31 and 28 how Bhima was feeling when Shishupala was criticizing.
Chapter
31 now. Bhima says, My arms are just like thunderbolts, but despite these arms, I could not smash Shishupala while he was blaspheming Krishna. So what of what use are these strong arms? Bhima became angry And influenced by such anger, his hopelessness became a cause for strong attachment to Krishna. This is attachment for Krishna in anger. Not only was he saying, he was crying. Bhima was crying, he was so angry. I don't know, did anybody here ever become so angry you started crying? No. You've seen it?
Yeah.
Wow. So Bhima got so angry that he was crying because he wanted to kill Shishupala immediately, but because Krishna did not order him to do so, he became morose with anger. He was upset. There were hot tears covering his eyes, as a thin cloud sometimes covers the evening moon. So he was crying because of anger and looking very beautiful. So chapter 75 is Duryodhan was unsatisfied, is it? Humiliated. Anything you remember from that chapter? Yes. He insulted the guards coming in. Yeah, so he was always envious. Lakshmani.
Many people were laughing, including Arjuna and Bhima.
And the ladies.
And Yudhisthira was trying to get them to stop.
He's trying, yeah. Yudhisthira was
kind of encouraging them.
Yeah. Yeah, because she was saying, yeah.
He wanted the
fight to come.
Bring it to surface.
I had somewhere in my notes that the palace was so made that anyone who was envious would be bewildered. Yeah, I don't know. I had it somewhere. I don't remember. If you're envious or hostile was the word. If you're hostile, then you'll get bewildered by the architecture. Yeah. Adipurush? Ooh, it followed the demoniac vastu. Oh, very interesting. That's why it was bewildering. Parvati, did you have something? Everyone took part.
In a very good way.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they all helped. They did some service. They all did some service. Satyavati.
Because it just introduces the architecture of
the demons.
I don't know, it should be happen.
Okay, Lakshmi, we'll go to Lakshmimoni now. One point per person. And more envious, right, recording. And Karna was giving in charity. She was famous. Abhay, that's last comment, and then we have to start. It's getting late.
Just a comment, actually. It seems unusual that it was a demoniac vastu.
Demoniac vastu.
Anybody who was envious fell into the pool because, how did it all fall in?
You're surprised more people didn't fall in. Yes. Last. Okay.
Everybody was
short.
A good time after the sacrifice.
Right.
Bathing in.
Okay.
Just one.
Oh, we got to start now. We got to start. No, that's it. We got to start sometime. So today we're having a battle between Shalva and the Vrishnis. Now there's only a few more demons left on the list, Krishna's list, before he can go back to Vrindavan. So tomorrow we'll be so happy because Krishna is going to go back to Vrindavan tomorrow after Dantavakra. But before that, he has to kill Shalva. He's on his list, and today it will happen. So the first verse is really nice because Krishna's name is in the verse, Krishnasya. So that's the wonderful thing, that we're going to start out this chapter with Krishna's name. So let's hear a little bit about Shalva. Verse 2. Shalva was a friend of Shishupala's. When he attended the wedding of Rukmini, the other warriors defeated him in battle along with Jarasandha and the other kings. Interesting. Yeah, Jarasandha was defeated so many times. So, anyway. Shalva swore in the presence of all the kings, I will rid the earth of Yadavas. Just see my prowess. Having thus made his vow, the foolish king proceeded to worship Lord Pashupati, Shiva, as his deity, by eating a handful of dust each day and nothing more. One thing these demons are good at is austerities. That they could all do very... And this is austerity in the mode of ignorance, according to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Austerity in the mode of ignorance.
Torturing
the body and the super soul within. Eating dust each day, handful of dust. Lord, the great Lord Umapati is known as he who is quickly pleased, yet only at the end of a year did he gratify Shalva, who had approached him for shelter, by offering him a choice of benedictions. Purport. Shalva worshipped Lord Shiva, who is famous as Ashutosh, one who is quickly satisfied. And yet Lord Shiva did not come to Shalva for an entire year because, being Bhagavan, a great all-knowing personality, he understood that any benediction given to Lord Krishna's enemy would be fruitless. Still, as stated by the word Sharanam Agatam, Shalva had come to Lord Shiva for shelter. And thus, to maintain the standard principle that a worshipper receives a benediction, Lord Shiva offered one to Shalva. So it's interesting that he knew that the benediction would prove useless, but still he's giving it. So sometimes the parents, they know that, some help they give to their children, it's going to be useless, but still they have, out of duty, they still give the advice, or they try to help their children, even though they know, it's a hopeless case. But so he was like, when you take shelter, sharana means that you accept someone as your protector. You take shelter of someone. So then there's an obligation between the person who you take shelter of. He has to give you something if you have taken shelter of him. So Jiva Goswami says, the reason for his knowing the benediction would prove fruitless is stated by the word Bhagavan. Now, therefore, he nonetheless enticed him with such a benediction because he knew it would have no overall effect. But it may be asked, wouldn't it have been better for him not to have come to Shalva at all? Well, why did Shiva have to go, But this is answered by the words, Sharanam Agatam. He anticipated otherwise people in this world would become neglectful of the process of taking shelter. So if they saw that somebody goes to Lord Shiva and he doesn't get a benediction, then people will stop their worship. Verse 6. Shalva chose a vehicle that could be destroyed by neither demigods, demons, humans, Gandharvas, Uragas, nor Rakshasas. That's everyone except for Krishna. He forgot Krishna. He thought Krishna was a human, so therefore he thought, well, he's in the list. No problem. Krishna's a human. I got everyone covered. They could travel anywhere he wished to go, and that would terrify the Rishnis. Lord Shiva said, so be it. On his order, Maya Danava, who conquers his enemies' cities, constructed a flying iron city named Sobha and presented it to Shalva. So the airplanes of nowadays, are they made of iron or steel or what?
Aluminum.
Aluminum. Okay, aluminum. Special aluminum. So iron, this one was made of iron. This unassailable vehicle was filled with darkness and could go anywhere. Upon obtaining it, Shalva went to Dwaraka, remembering the Vrishni's enmity toward him. So in Krishna book, it gives a little explanation about the darkness. Because filled with darkness kind of makes you kind of wonder, what does that mean? Was it no lights? Was it dark in the city? Or what does that mean? So let's hear what Srila Prabhupada says in Krishna book. Lord Shiva immediately agreed to give him the benediction, and Shalva took the help of the demon Maya to manufacture this iron airplane, which was so strong and formidable that no one could crash it. It was a very big machine, almost like a big city, and it could fly so high and at such a speed, it was almost impossible to see. So there is no question of attacking it. It appeared to be almost covered with darkness, yet the pilot could fly it anywhere and everywhere. So just imagine if the scientists were able to make an airplane like that. They would be so happy. He's down in the lower planets. If you want to take darshan, you have to go to the first one, is it Atala? Atala. He's in Atala. It's just below the earth if you want to make a visit.
Sometimes he visited us also, even now.
Yeah. How do you know? You've seen him.
No, just objects, unknown planet.
Yeah. No, we cannot blame. No, he's better than that. He's
better.
He's better.
Going as a position of
Boeing. Yes. Yes. Anybody will take him. So anyway, Shalva besieged the city with a large army, O best of the Bharatas, decimating the outlying parks and gardens. So this is on the outskirts of the city. The mansions, along with their observatories, towering gateways, and surrounding walls, and also the public recreational areas. So this is from the outside. There's all these gardens, and then there's observatories, parks. From his excellent airship, he threw down a torrent of weapons, including stones, tree trunks, thunderbolts, snakes, and hailstones. Yes. Interesting. What comes from this plane? What comes from the plane? Yes. Snakes.
Super sophisticated plane throwing tree trunks.
Tree trunks. Yeah, I know. Thunderbolts, that's good, though. Thunderbolts is not bad. You could... Hailstones. A fierce whirlwind arose and blanketed all directions with dust. Thus, terribly tormented by the airship Soba, Lord Krishna's city had no peace, O King, just like the earth when it was attacked by the three aerial cities of the demons. So that was long, long time ago. That was three airplanes, I think iron, silver, and gold, was it? And Lord Shiva had to defeat. And therefore, he's called Tripurari. In Krishna book, which canto was it? Seven or one of those early cantos? It's in Mahabharata. It's also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, but it's not. It doesn't go into detail. So in Krishna book, Prabhupada talks about, gives a few more details. Shalva thus attacked the city of Dwarka from the sky, and he also surrounded the city by a large number of infantry. So they did have bombing even in those days. 5,000 years ago, they were bombing people. The soldiers on the surface attacked the beautiful spots of the city. They began to destroy the nice parks, city gates, palaces, and skyscraper houses, the high walls around the city, beautiful spots where people would gather for recreation. While the soldiers attacked on the surface, the airplane began to drop big slaps of stone. Krishna book. Big slabs of stone, tree trunks, thunderbolts, poisonous snakes, and many other dangerous things, etc., etc. You can imagine what else was being dropped from that airplane. Shalva also managed to create such a strong whirlwind within the city, all of Dwarka became dark because of the dust that covered the sky. The airplane occupied by Shalva put the entire city of Dwarka into distress, equal to that caused on the earth long, long ago by the disturbing activities of Tripurasura. Inhabitants of Dwarka Puri became so harassed they were not peaceful for even a moment. So therefore, he got the benediction that Lord Shiva gave him to disturb the Vrishnis, put them into distress. So he did put them into distress for a short time. Seeing his subjects so harassed, the glorious and heroic Lord Pradyumna told them, "Do not fear," and mounted his chariot. Now this is interesting because here Vishnu Chakravarti said, though Balaram wanted to go out and fight, Pradyumna said, "We will kill Shalva. You should remain inside comfortably." Saying this, he went out with Samba and the others. Now, in a verse, some verses later, it'll say that Krishna and Balaram were in Hastinapur. So, interesting. Sometimes there are contradictions. Verse 14, 15. The chief commanders of the chariot warriors, Satyaki, Charudeshna, Samba, Akrura, and his younger brothers, along with Hardikya, Bhanuvinda, Gada, Shuka, and Sarana, went out of the city with many other eminent bowmen, all girded in armor and protected by contingents of soldiers riding on chariots, elephants, and horses, and also by companies of infantry. A tumultuous hair-raising battle then commenced between Shalva's forces and the Yadus. It equaled the great battles between the demons and the demigods. Yes, so these battles between the demons and demigods are not ordinary. I think I remember one battle, I think it was in the eighth canto, after they stole the The demigods got the nectar. It said the blood went from all the way up to the sun planet. The blood and the dust is going up very high. So that's a heavy battle. Very heavy battle. So this is like the demons and demigods. And it actually is between the demons and demigods, because the demigods took birth in the Outer Dynasty. And the demons are Shalva. So again, birth after birth, they seem to be having their battles. It goes on for lifetimes. With his divine weapons, Pradyumna instantly destroyed all of Shalva's magic illusions in the same way that the warm rays of the sun dissipate the darkness of night. Lord Pradyumna's arrows all had gold shafts, iron heads, and perfectly smooth joints. Now, that would be very expensive for our modern day. Golden shafts. The arrows were made of gold. The heads were iron.
But they're made with joints?
Yeah.
Smooth joints.
Anyway. Yeah, you have to join the arrowhead to the shaft. With 25 of them, he struck down Shalva's commander-in-chief, Duman. And with 100, he struck Shalva himself. Then he pierced Shalva's officers with one arrow each, his chariot drivers with 10 arrows each, and his horses and other carriers with 3 arrows each. Yes. Shoot the charioteer, I know. I mean, they're always shooting the chariot driver. Yeah, they don't follow the rules. I mean, they have rules, and sometimes they don't follow them. When they saw the glorious Pradyumna perform that amazing and mighty feat, all the soldiers on both sides praised him. So, I mean, you don't get that nowadays. If somebody bombs you, you don't say, "Oh, wow, that was good. You did a good job." Because it wasn't like, you know, impersonal bombing. It was like, you know, they were face to face, and they were exhibiting their own prowess on the battlefield. And so when they saw what Pradyumna did, they were appreciating, "Wow, he's really good. Look at that." It's like sports, kind of. Sometimes in sports, they'll appreciate the other side. At one moment, the magic airship built by Maya Donova appeared in many identical forms. And the next moment, it was again only one. So try to shoot that ship. Try to shoot that airplane. Sometimes it was visible, and sometimes not. Thus, Shalva's opponents could never be sure where it was. If you can't see, now you see it, now you don't. Now, so that's really very, very difficult. From one moment to the next, the Shalva airship appeared on the earth, in the sky. So within a second, it was on the earth, it was in the sky, on a mountain peak, or in the water. So amazing. Like a whirling, flaming baton, it never remained in any one place. So the ship was really... How can you actually aim at it, let alone shoot it? Wherever Shalva would appear with his Shalva ship and his army, there the other commanders would shoot their arrows. So they would keep changing directions, if it was in the sky or in the water or in the land, and they would follow the ship and shoot. Shalva became bewildered upon seeing his army and aerial city thus harassed by his enemy's arrows, which struck like fire and the sun and were as intolerable as snake venom. So in the purport, Sridhar Swami explains what this means, the fire, sun, and snake venom. Sridhar Swami explains, the arrows of the Yadu commanders burned like fire, struck simultaneously from all sides like the sun's rays, and like snake venom, were lethal by a single touch. So even if you just got one of those arrows, you're dead. You're finished. You're finished. Except, of course, for Shalva, who has to be killed by Krishna. So these are the rules of fate, of destiny, of karma. Even if you can shoot him a million times, he won't die until... Actually, the one who's meant to kill him will kill. Krishna only can kill him. Because he won't be killed by human beings. So therefore, he cannot be killed. Because the heroes of the Vrishni clan were eager for victory in this world and the next, They did not abandon their assigned posts on the battlefield, even though the downpour of weapons hurled by Shalva's commanders tormented them. So they were feeling some problem here. Prabhupada writes, the heroes of the Yadu dynasty were determined to either die on the battlefield or gain victory. They were confident of the fact that if they would die in the fighting, they would attain a heavenly planet, and if they would come out victorious, they would enjoy the world. So here they are, living in Dwarka, and they're thinking, well, if we die, we'll go to heaven. I mean, they're living in actually spiritual world. But still, if we die, we go to heaven, and if we're victorious, we'll enjoy this world. So that was the Kshatriya code. The Kshatriya code. Die on the battlefield. So just because you're born in Dwarka or you live in Dwarka doesn't mean you don't get trouble. You get trouble even in Dwarka. You have to fight. It's not you just sit there and enjoy life and everything's good. You have to fight in the battle and defend Dwarka. Shalva's minister Duman, previously wounded by Shipadum, now ran up to him and, roaring loudly, struck him with his club of black steel. Steel. Black steel.
It's carbon.
Carbon?
Carbon steel.
Carbon steel. We have it nowadays.
Yeah, we have.
Black steel. Very hard. Okay, so they had it also 5,000 years ago, black steel. Black steel. He said carbon.
It is the cheapest.
Carbon. Pradumna's driver, the son of Daruka, thought that his valiant master's chest had been shattered by the club. Knowing well his religious duty, he removed Pradumna from the battlefield. Purport. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti explains, actually, Lord Pradumna has a Satchit Anand body, an eternal spiritual form that can never be wounded by mundane weapons. Daruka's son, however, was a great devotee of the Lord, and out of intense love, he feared for the safety of his master and thus removed him from the battlefield. So, even though he had a Satchit Ananda body, he went unconscious somehow or other. And so Daruka was really Daruka's in so much love with him, the son of Daruka, sorry. Daruka with Krishna, son of Daruka with Pradumna, and probably the grandson of Daruka with Aniruddha. That's how it goes. Whoever is your, whatever your father does, you do. So Srila Prabhupada writes, the name of Shalva's commander-in-chief was Duman. He was very powerful, and although bitten by 25 of Pradumna's arrows, he suddenly attacked Pradumna with his fierce club and struck him so strongly that Pradumna became unconscious. Immediately there was a roaring, now he is dead, now he is dead. The force of the club on Pradumna's chest was very severe, enough to tear asunder the chest of an ordinary man. So there's a little bit more explanation in Sarita Darshini from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He said, actually, the spiritual chest of Pradumna cannot be pierced by the material club of Juman. So what happened? How did he fall unconscious if he cannot be harmed? He's such an on the chest. How did Lila Shakti quickly arrange all of this in order to increase his taste for energetic fighting? His driver, thinking he had actually been pierced in the chest, took him from the battlefield somewhere else. He did this because he was knowledgeable of the proper action. Scriptures say the charioteer should protect the warrior in danger. So this is, there's all these rules for everyone in the Varnashram. The charioteer has their rules. Kshatriya has their rules. So that's what you have to do if you're not a devotee of Krishna. All these rules and regulations. However, by the rules of Sandhi, the charioteer can also be described as adharmavit, not knowing the truth, since he was not aware that Pradumna had a body which was Satchit Ananda. But his ignorance in this matter is also very suitable, for he was the son of Daruka. Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu says that Parikit, Daruka, and Uddhava had raga bhakti for the Lord. The son of Daruka, who had such great prema, therefore, had very great affection for Pradumna, and therefore took him from the field. So it's like when the Brijbasis, and they're worrying about Krishna, So they always want to protect. So they have this, the son of Daruka had this feeling, I need to protect him. Even doesn't matter if he's God. But that went beyond his Aishwarya. Now it went beyond. Even in Dwarka, sometimes they go beyond and they forget that he's God. And so he did remove him from the battlefield. Quickly regaining consciousness, Lord Krishna's son Pradyumna said to his charioteer, "O driver, this is abominable for me to have been removed from the battlefield." Krishna book, Prabhupada says. 2 hours later, in a quiet place. So he took 2 hours. He didn't just quickly. Quickly means after 2 hours. He regained consciousness. Pradyumna regained consciousness, and when he saw he was in a place other than the battlefield, he addressed the charioteer and condemned him. "Except for me, no one born in the Yadu dynasty has ever been known to abandon the battlefield. My reputation has now been stained by a driver who thinks like a eunuch." Pretty heavy. Poor drivers. The drivers, they have to take it from the masters, even nowadays. Sometimes the driver gets it. And so his driver was just doing his duty, but he's getting chastised. He's getting, even though sometimes you may do your service and it's the right thing to do, but you may still get chastised by your guru. You may even do the right thing, you know. And here's an example. He did the right thing according to the rules, but his guru, his master is chastising him. "What will I say to my fathers, Rama and Keshava, when I return to them after having simply fled the battle? What can I tell them that will befit my honor?" Purport. Sri Pradyumna here uses the word pitarau, fathers, loosely. Lord Balaram was, of course, his uncle. So that's the way it is in the Vedic time. It was joint family, and everyone was your father, whoever was the brothers. It was uncles, they were your fathers. Aunts were your mothers. It was like that. Even now it's, in India, they're losing it now. It used to be. When I was in Calcutta, there was a joint family, 400 people, one family. And they're all my mother, they're all my... And sometimes you ask, and they'll say, "Oh, he's my brother." And brother in India can mean anything. It could be from the same family, it could be from, you know, cousin, it could be from the same village. It could be, actually, when someone says, "He's my brother," then don't take it literally. And so here, they are my fathers. "Certainly, my sisters-in-law will laugh at me and say, 'Oh, hero, tell us how in the world your enemies turned you into such a coward in battle.'" The sisters-in-law. The driver replied, "O long-lived one, I have done this knowing full well my prescribed duty. O my lord, the chariot driver must protect the master of the chariot when he is in danger, and the master must also protect his driver." So this is the rule that he followed, and Pradyumna is upset, but the driver was right in this case, because Pradyumna was unconscious, and in that unconscious state, if he had been killed, then the driver would have been responsible. It would have been his responsibility. "With this rule in mind, I removed you from the battlefield, since you had been struck unconscious by your enemy's club, and I thought you were seriously injured." So he thought. He didn't know he had such an on the body, but actually he thought. And he was right. Daruka's son was right. So we'll stop here. Any questions or comments on this chapter, on the great airplane of Shalva and the fight, the beginning of the fight? The next chapter will have the end of the fight. It's two chapters for Shalva in Bhagavatam. In the next chapter, Krishna will appear on the scene and finalize the battle. We will have the final conclusion. So any... And one more demon will be crossed off the list so Krishna can come very quickly to Vrindavan tomorrow. Yes?
Comment about Triparasura.
Comment about Triparasura.
So it is Indranavarta's killing. So when Indranavarta was killed...
When Indranavarta was killed.
He fell down to the... So that was
who was cursed?
Indranavarta.
Trinavarta.
The mountain was cursed.
The mountain was cursed. The mountain which he fell on was cursed.
Yes.
Okay. Did you have your hand up, Prashanta? Or was that scratching your head? Okay. Anything else on this chapter? Yes? No.
With which
anartha? Oh, I haven't thought about that. Okay, intelligence is Pradyumna is the deity of intelligence, right? And he got a blow from intelligence. Got a blow from Shalva. And Shalva is, but it sounds to me like more like more the snake, because he's envious and he wants to revenge. His motive ignorance, and Shalva is motivated by ignorance. So therefore, like vengeance, you want vengeance, you want cruelty. It sounds to me, I mean, from his behavior, and he's throwing snakes too. From his behavior, it would be like one of those snakes, more like a snake problem. The snake sometimes bites your intelligence, sometimes you get it. Pride, actually, yeah. The Kaliya is for pride. Sometimes your intelligence is lost when you become proud. Then it's a blow to your intelligence. And then you do something. Even a devotee in devotional service becomes proud. Then that may happen.
Like
what?
Very hard to grasp.
Internet. Oh, that illusion. Yeah, illusion, of course. There is illusion there. So internet is... Yeah, he's in the air. He's in the cyberspace.
TV.
Yeah, TV is very demoniac. Okay, yeah. But it's not as... TV is more passive. He's very aggressive, Shalva. It's more aggressive. You think, I don't know, is TV aggressive? Okay, TV is aggressive. All right, TV is really the commercials and the things. TV is aggressive, okay? And it's throwing all kinds of things at you. It's true. It's throwing all kinds of bombs on your intelligence. Just to sit in front means you've lost your intelligence. Yes. I know, that's what Prashanta said. Tree trunks and stones. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, we were reading in one class I was giving last week that the demons, modern-day demons, are the scientists. Modern-day demons.
So they're like...
Yeah, but the devotees we are using.
But we are using it in the right way.
Yes. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
It looks like Lord Shiva is very easy to please.
Asutosh. Okay, any devotees ever worship Lord Shiva that we know of? Lord Ram worshiped Lord Shiva. So it's not just demons. Yes.
Sanatana Goswami.
Sanatana Goswami, yes, he worshiped Lord Shiva.
Yes, because
oh, that...
Achcha.
Okay, so Lord, yes, yeah, and that's right. And didn't he remove the mosquitoes from...
Yes, that's in Chakleshwar.
Chakleshwar, wasn't that Lord Shiva who did that? Lord Shiva removed the mosquitoes from where Sanatana Goswami had his. So yes, devotees do worship. Yes, Lord Shiva also for different purposes. Why did Sanatana Goswami worship Lord Shiva?
Because he granted...
Oh. Yes. So Lord Shiva is the Lokapala, what is it you call it? Dhampala. He is the guardian of the Dham. So we worship Lord Shiva to gain entrance into the Dham. There are prayers to him that we can say to gain entrance, and also to Gopishwar to gain entrance into the Rasa dance. He's guarding the Dham and he's guarding the Rasa dance. So devotees worship Lord Shiva in that way to gain entrance to the Dham. I know Jananivas and Pankajangri have a Shivalinga in the Pujari room. And they worship.
Is that going to the Shiva temple?
Yeah, he's the protector of the Dham. He's here and he's also at Govardhan. They go, and he's also at, where is that? Where he went? Nandagram, wasn't it? Asheshwara.
Oh.
Yeah. So he's here in Braj. Nanda Maharaj worshipped Lord Shiva to get Krishna as his son. So therefore we have a lot of respect for Lord Shiva, and we're very grateful to Lord Shiva for giving Nanda Maharaj Krishna as his son. Yes.
So we worship him every day many times.
Yes.
Advaita.
Yes, he's Advaita Acharya. And Advaita's desire was that all the mlechas and yavanas, when Lord Chaitanya asked, "What do you want?" and he said, "I want that all these unqualified people, they get prema. They all become great devotees, even greater than these useless brahmins." Lord Shiva, you cannot Chaitanya Bhagavat. Unless if you cannot become a Vaishnava if you neglect Lord Shiva. Right. From Daksha Yagya, fourth canto, which we're studying right now, if you neglect, you worship Vishnu, but you neglect Lord Shiva, you become a ritualistic Vaidic Brahma, Smarta Brahman.
Mundane person,
materialistic person. Yes. Let this affect. We have a Dvaita.
He's
Mahavishnu and Lord Shiva, Harihara, Harihara, Sadashiva. He's Sadashiva, which is Harihara. Mahavishnu and Shiva together. Yeah. By worshipping Panchatattva. Because Panchatattva includes everything and everyone. Panchatattva. Plus Guru. There's six tattvas. There's Panchatattva plus Guru Tattva. The Panchatattva includes Lord Shiva, includes Mahavishnu, includes everyone. Shakti, Radharani. Okay, so Lord Chaitanya composed Shivastakam when he went to worship Lord Shiva when he traveled to South India. So there are so many examples of the Lord himself and also devotees worshipping Lord Shiva. Therefore we also worship every day Advaita Acharya. He's Harihara, Harihara, or combination of Vishnu and Shiva, black and white together. Yeah, that's also... Lim?
Sadashiva is not different from Sadashiva.
Yeah.
Is a form of Vishnu.
He's a form of, he carries the glance. It's not the glance is something else. Lord Shiva carries the glance of Mahavishnu. And he consorts with Maya. And the glance is the karma, the jiva, and kala. Karma, jiva, kala. Jiva, karma, and kala is in the glance.
Karma, jiva, and kala.
Yeah, this is from Brahma Samhita.
Yeah,
he's in a different category. It's Vishnu touched by Maya.
There are different Shivas.
And there's also, Now, if you want to find out about Shiva, there's also many different kinds of Shiva. Okay, if you want to find out, read Lagu Bhagavatamrita.
A Jiva can become a Shiva.
Oh, interesting.
But this is not
It's not Sada Shiva now, because that's Mahavishnu. Yeah, we hear that Shiva has, he has rudras. There's all these rudras that expand. So many of them expand. Yeah, well, it won't be that Shiva that's 85. It won't be that one. That the Jiva. There are so many other like forms for destruction of Lord Shiva. Even if you, rudras. Yeah, there are so many forms of Lord Shiva that are not, the original. He has to expand. Yes, did you have your hand, Lakshmoni? Or Parvati? Okay.
We sing his praises in the evening arati.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada.
Shiva Shuka Naharada.
And Prabhupada
there you go.
Had us build a seat for him.
Oh.
In London.
London? Oh, it's Lord Shiva and Narada?
Brahma.
Narada is somewhere too.
Narada.
Lord Brahma and Narada. Yeah, I don't think so, Shiva either. It was Narada and Brahma. Yeah. But, Prabhupada was always very respectful. Lord Shiva. So, yes, that is nice that we had some consciousness of glorification of Lord Shiva. It feels very purifying. Yeah, because we're hearing in class every day, Shiva. These two words are very auspicious. Yes? Who?
So,
Markandeya. Markandeya, right, right. And he has a long life, Markandeya. Like 7 kalpas or something. Really long life. Okay, anybody else have a comment or question on this chapter? Yes? No, this chapter. This chapter. Only this one. Okay, so we'll meet again at 12:30 and hear what happens to Shalva. You will hear the end of Shalva, and Krishna will appear on the battlefield and do the honors. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.